Wait for it.
There's no need to wait, geeks. We are back. This is the Active Geek Podcast with your hosts, Jim and Chuck. And this is an episode that we've been waiting for because it's one of our favorite series that we're talking about. We're talking about The Boys, but before that, I think we'd be remiss and we'd lose our geek card if we didn't talk about all the news that happened this past weekend at San Diego Comic-Con. And there was a lot of it. So over the course of the next few episodes, we're going to talk about each studio and, you know, little blips and blurbs here and there. But what we're going to focus on right now is kind of the whole kit and caboodle that everybody wanted to go to San Diego Comic-Con for, because it was the return of Marvel. They have been there in a few years. Obviously, COVID stopped a little bit of that, but prior to that, they hadn't been to Hall H in a very long time. So Marvel came, and you and I had been texting, and we're like, oh, yeah, we, you know, we got some X-Men foot, like, you know, the lineup, and Magneto's going to rule them, or, well, going to lead them. And we got some animated stuff with, like, What If coming back for season two, another Marvel Zombies, which will be TVMA. But then on Sunday or Saturday night, they just came and they dropped the load.
Yeah.
And Kevin Feige comes out and says, listen, I know you guys aren't really in love with Phase 4. I get it. It doesn't seem like it's going anywhere. But believe me, it's going somewhere. And he says, let me introduce you to Phase 5 and Phase 6. Now, Phase 4 is scheduled to end in November with Black Panther, Wakanda Forever, which they also dropped the trailer for that in She-Hulk, and we'll talk about that. But moving into Phase 5 is stacked.
Yeah.
We usually, you know, let's go back to Phase 3 for a minute, where it was like, what, 5 movies?
Yes.
In a span of like 3 years. Phase 5 has 12 projects coming out. Completely blows my mind because I never thought 12 projects in a matter of a year and a half was going to happen, but I'm stoked for it.
Yeah.
And we got a little bit of Phase 6 too. So in February 17th, 2023, we have Ant-Man and the Wasp, Quantumania. Apparently, they dropped the trailer there and it looks great. They confirmed that MODOK was a villain. You know, I'm riding with you on this one. I'm thinking it's going to be Bill Murray. He's already been cast to the movie. I'm thinking it's going to be him. Then we got Secret Invasion coming out this spring, which apparently they dropped a little bit of a teaser for as well. Guardians of the Galaxy 3 is May 5th, 2023. And from what I'm hearing, this one's going to be emotional. I'm talking like Rocket's backstory emotional.
Yeah, I heard there's going to be Baby Rocket,
and how Baby Rocket became Rocket, and it doesn't look good, obviously. And you know, we're gonna lose a lot of the Guardians in this one. This is the end for Batista and for a lot of people in this series. Then in summer of 2023, we have Echo, also Loki season two, July 28th. Nia DaCosta comes with her Marvel debut, The Marvels, which has been rumored, I think it was confirmed, that it's going to be part musical.
Yeah, I saw
which,
that.
Which, every time I see that, I get a little worried. But I've been watching more musicals as I've been getting older, so I'll give it a shot. November 3rd, 2023, biggest news, I think, out of all of this for me. We're getting a Blade movie. We knew this was happening. We finally have a date. November 3rd. The fall of 2023, we have Ironheart. Winter 2023 and into 2024, we have Agatha, Coven of Chaos, a spinoff from WandaVision. Spring 2024, a very huge announcement, an 18-episode series, Daredevil Born Again. May 3rd, we've got, this is 2024, we got Captain America 4, New World Order. And then finally, Phase 5 rounds out with the Thunderbolts, July 26th and 2024. And that leads us into the next two Avengers movies, Avengers Secret Wars and Avengers Kang Dynasty. So when you saw all this, and I know you were in Atlantic City and I was, you know, just peppering those news. It was like old days. What did you think of this giant announcement from Kevin Feige and Marvel Studios?
Well, first I was surprised because I heard the rumor that they weren't going to bring much because they were going to wait for D23. Like, I was hoping, but I was like, yeah, we haven't really got much lately, so I could see them kind of waiting to D20, you know, like, this is our Comic-Con. Right. So, I was surprised the amount of stuff that that dropped. And yep. Kevin Feige said, what, like 2-3 weeks ago, that in the next couple months you'll know who the big bad is. Well, that was like 2 weeks later, and boom, it's Kang.
And we knew that, right? You and I, yeah, on the last three podcasts have kind of talked about Kang being the big bad. You don't introduce him in Loki, a variant of him in Loki, say he's the big bad in Ant-Man, and just let him be the big bad in Ant-Man. Like, Kang is a top-tier villain in the Marvel Universe.
And they did drop a poster for Ant-Man with Kang. And,
yep, looks great.
Cassie Lang.
Yeah, the new Cassie Lang.
Yeah, the new
Catherine Newton.
The new Cassie Lang. So Kang's design looks great in the poster. It looks like Kang. Like, they didn't really try to do much with it.
I would hope so.
They do a decent job with designing their characters to live action.
Decent? I think they do a pretty damn good job.
They do. There's some that are characters. Hit or miss, but for the most part, they're spot on. So, you know, I was surprised about that. And then just all the confirmations of dates. Now, these are all tentative. As we know, a lot of times stuff gets pushed back or pushed forward and stuff like that. But we got the Blade. We got a release date for Fantastic Four, which is great.
That's phase six.
And then with, like you said, the two Avengers movies, Secret Wars is one of my favorite storylines.
Right.
So, you know, it's iconic. So to actually have a Secret Wars movie, I mean, we've been talking about that for a while now, but now it's confirmed, which is awesome. And then the Kang Dynasty, which I believe is coming first, then Secret Wars. So I would love to see what they do with the Kang Dynasty, because
I believe it's switched. I think Secret Wars is in August. Kang is in November.
Okay.
But either way, I mean, we get two Avengers movies in the same year.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're not making us wait 1 to 2 years with a bunch of filler in between. They're saying, like, this is what you're going to get. And that's amazing. You know, and I hope, you know, my hope is that, like, this whole multiverse saga is what they're calling Phase 4 and Phase 5 isn't just the end of the MCU. You know what I mean? Like, we didn't get a date for Doctor Strange. They said he's going to return. We didn't get a date for the next Thor, if that's possible. Is Shang-Chi getting a one-shot movie? Like, there's a lot of questions there. And your D23 is their Comic-Con. And I feel like most of what's going to happen in D23 is going to be the castings.
Yeah.
Like, we're gonna meet Reed Richards and, you know, all of them. We're going to get more footage of, like, I wouldn't say Blade, but, like, some of the series that are coming up. Maybe an announcement of who's going to be in Blade. Like, is Dane Whitman going to reprise his role? Are we going to see the Eternals again? So there's still a bunch of question marks. And I think it's so smart and strategic on their part to be like, listen, Warner Brothers is coming with two trailers. We know that. And a couple, you know, animated movies. We're going to come and we're going to drop stuff that you already know is coming out, but we're going to give you a release date. And everything that Marvel dropped that day trumped everything that DC dropped. Like, the moment, like, the Black Adam trailer and the Shazam trailer came out, we were like, yeah, you know, good trailers. DC came, no one's talking about anything. Or Marvel came, no one's talking about anything anymore. Anything DC.
No. I mean,
Like, we knew Echo was coming out.
Yeah.
We knew Ironheart and Secret Invasion. All this stuff we knew was coming out. We literally got release dates and two trailers, and it was like, Marvel wins. Hands down, the king is back, and I love it.
Yeah.
I love it.
Really?
No one else competed with them.
The biggest surprise was the Avengers movies, in my mind. Obviously, we thought there was going to be more Avengers, but to actually have titles is huge. And then the Daredevil. Like, it was speculated, but now it's not only a release date, we got official title.
Yeah, and I mean, look at Charlie Cox. I mean, come on now. He's been in, this will be the fourth series that he'll be in at this point now as Daredevil. I mean, that's big, you know. Or as Matt Murdock, you think Spider-Man No Way Home, he was in that. Mm-hmm. He's rumored to be, I think he's actually confirmed to be in Echo. He's got his own series, and She-Hulk trailer showed his hot dog suit. So, yeah, that's four things in a matter of just joining the MCU. So there's a lot of stock in him and Vincent D'Onofrio, too.
Yeah, well, I love that. So
it would be nice, and this is just me dreaming ahead, and then we'll talk trailers. It would be nice if D23, they announced the return of the Punisher.
People are clamoring for it. You know, he was great.
And honestly, now you got to strike while the iron's hot. Jon Bernthal's getting bigger and bigger.
Mm-hmm.
He's in everything now. He's got a new series coming out on Showtime with Rosie O'Donnell and Wayne Brady called American Gigolo, which actually looks really good. I saw that cast and I said, you got to be shitting me. But I saw the trailer. Looks great.
It's the remake of the Richard Gere movie.
Yeah. But I wouldn't expect Rosie O'Donnell to be in a movie or a series at this point in my life. But he's hot now. He's hot, like hotter than he was back then. So like it's time to really like jump on that and say, like, we need Jon Bernthal back in here. And maybe he's the villain in the Thunderbolts, and that changes the dynamic of the MCU. But who knows? I'm looking really forward to it. Everything was great. Like we knew that. You know, the Avengers stuff was big because they said, like, what you know of the Avengers is not what you know of the Avengers moving forward. And it was, like, kind of cryptic. And it's like, oh, maybe we're not going to get the Avengers anymore. But clearly we're getting the Avengers. And I think that was good. And the rest was just all, you know, we knew was coming out. And I'm pumped for it. We got release dates. I can plan my next 2 years. I'm happy for that. But we got two other things and two big things. You know, we're sitting here spending 10 minutes, 12 minutes talking about release dates, but we got a trailer for Wakanda Forever and super emotional. The things that kind of stuck out to me were, one, obviously Namor.
Yeah.
Was great. Love the look of, you know, the Aztecian version. It was, like you said before, it's very hard when they announced that Namor was going to be in this to not replicate what Aquaman looks like in that whole vibe. And I think they translated that pretty well. Then we get Ironheart. And, you know, they showed her briefly. And now Funko comes out and dropped all the spoilers of what her suit looks like. And, you know, her Mach 1 suit isn't, you know, Tony Stark quality. But, you know, obviously it's... she's new at this. So I think that was cool. And then I told you the theory that I have is that I believe that the true Atlanteans do not like Namor. And they flood Wakanda to start the war. And there's a child floating in the water. And T'Challa, in suit, not Chadwick Boseman, T'Challa in suit goes to save this child. The child is drowning, and he knows it's either him or the child, and he gives the, you know, the suit essentially to the child. The child swims to safety, never realizing that the child was Atlantean and could breathe underwater, and that's how they kill T'Challa, and I think that's how the war starts. What did you think about the trailer? Because I know that was like really low on your top 10 most anticipated because we haven't seen anything.
Yeah. But
now seeing it, what did you think?
It looks great. You know, he made an, the director,
Ryan Coogler
made a beautiful movie again. Like the first Black Panther was a beautifully aesthetic movie. This looks the same. Like you said, I love what they did with Namor and the Atlanteans, which I heard they're not calling them Atlanteans. I heard they're not saying they're from Atlantis.
Makes sense. That's fine.
But like I've told you, and you know, you briefly mentioned it, like it's very hard to replicate because Namor and Aquaman are very similar. Now Namor came first, you know, he was first issued in Marvel number 1, 1939, and Aquaman came 2 years later. Normally, it's flip-flop. Normally, it's Marvel copying DC, like, you know, Flash and Quicksilver, stuff like that. But, Namor never got love. I always liked Namor, I think, a little better than Aquaman, because I think Aquaman when we were growing up in the comics, you know, it was kind of pansy like.
Well, he was cheesy until they casted Jason Momoa.
Yeah.
Up until 2015.
Yeah.
Aquaman was always the butt of every joke.
Yeah.
And they all thought he had sex with fish. Like, that was the thing. Aquaman was the deep.
Yep.
As we kind of talk about the boys.
Yes. But I always thought Namor was really cool. I liked his look. And I really like what they did with it. The Aztec look. Very primitive. Not, you know, in the Atlanteans in Aquaman are, you know, super advanced with technology. And, you know, these guys are using whales as transportation to hide.
Yeah. It kind of like I texted you this during, you know, your what did you think of it? And I was like, it gave me Avatar vibes a little bit.
It totally did.
Just because they're blue and Avatar, you know, Shape of Water and all that stuff or whatever it is, the Way of Water, I don't care. The true Atlanteans, regardless of what they're going to call them, gave me Avatar vibes. But it's not a bad thing. Avatar's highest grossing movie of all time.
Yeah. So I like the look of Namor. Everything else looked great. It does look very sad.
Yeah, this is going to be a heart wrencher.
Yeah. And, you know, we see the mural, kind of like what they did with Tony Stark, but there's a mural of T'Challa in Wakanda, in the city. So that was sad. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it's going to be a powerful movie, emotional. But, you know, it has to be done. They, you know, to honor Chadwick Boseman, they just can't, like, oh, you know, Black Panther's done forever.
Yeah, I mean, you couldn't call, you have to call an audible on this one because you can't retcon him coming back after Infinity War.
Yeah.
Like, him walking through that portal that Doctor Strange brings in is huge because you see him and you're like, yes, Chadwick's back, Black Panther's back. Now, the question is, and this is the big question on the internet. A lot of people are like, who's the next Black Panther? Who's the next Black Panther? Easy guess, Shuri. Easy transition.
Yeah.
She, you know, worked on the suit, perfected the suit. T'Challa's her brother. But it could be a couple other people. It could be Okoye, although her moving away from leader of the Dora Milaje, could be troublesome for the city of Wakanda or the country of Wakanda, but she's getting her own series. And I don't know if that is going to be in the sense of like, oh, she's the Dora Milaje or she's the Black Panther. But what kind of swayed me, I watched the trailer a few times, was Nakia.
Yeah.
You don't bring in Lupita to be a love interest. She's your lead. She's one of the biggest actresses in the world. Academy Award winner. And she's the first person you see in the trailer.
Mm-hmm.
And the last person you see in the trailer is Black Panther. And a lot of people are like, it's M'Baku. Unless Winston Duke slimmed down to a 32-inch waist, he's not fitting in that suit because those were some skinny legs.
And he's a large man.
Yeah, and like Letitia Wright would be great as Black Panther because, you know, obviously she's got the lore and all that stuff, but if you're going for star power, Lupita is bigger than Letitia at this point.
Yeah.
And, you know, from all the stills and all the stuff you see, Lupita's got some weapons and, you know, she's a badass. It would make perfect sense to make her the new Black Panther. But, you know, who knows? Maybe Namor is wearing that suit. And for some weird reason, we get a scene where he steals the Black Panther suit. I have no idea.
That would be a weird twist, but.
Yeah, right, but it's Marvel. You never know what could happen. You think Quicksilver, or you think Evan Peters is Mephisto or Shathan or somebody, and he turns out to be a dickhead named Ralph Boner. But we'll see what happens. Then we got the She-Hulk trailer. I don't know about She-Hulk, man. It looks good. I'm a little leery about it. Something in my gut saying that, like, I'm not saying this is going to be terrible. But something in my gut says that this is going to be a little cheesy in the beginning.
Oh, yeah. I think it's going to not campy, but it's going to be a little more comical. She's breaking the fourth wall.
Yep. Which, I mean, she does. That's her thing.
Yeah.
And I'm okay with that because, like, it kind of ushers in Deadpool and shit like that. But the big selling point for me is what we knew was coming. Matt Murdock's in it, and he's wearing his hot dog suit. What did you think of the hot dog suit being on television, on your screen, your phone, whatever you watched it on, for the first time?
I love it. You know, we've been wanting Charlie Cox back in it for a while. We love the suit.
You love the hot dog suit?
I do.
The brown and yellow.
It's old school.
It is very old school. I'm here for it. I mean, they did a good job. They didn't make it campy.
So, I think the trailer looked better. I think the CGI looked a little crisper. We got to see a lot of Mark Ruffalo's Hulk.
Yep.
We got to see General Blonsky.
Yeah.
The Abominable. It looked great. I like the we saw the redesign in Shang-Chi, and I like the redesign. He looks more comic accurate compared to what we got in The Incredible Hulk.
But, I mean, the trailer is the trailer, right? This is the second trailer. This is the last one I'm going to watch because the series comes out in a few weeks, and we're going to be breaking it down in a few weeks. So why not just end here in the trailer discussion and just save it for the whole episode, the whole season breakdown, because we're going to spend some time talking She-Hulk and our feelings about it. I'm not going to let the trailer sway me, but there's been some movies that I have, and we'll see. But I got some picks of the week, Chuck. I've got four, three of which are Marvel, and one of which is Image. DC, still not dropping anything new. I don't know what's going on with them. They're too busy putting out Black Adam trailers, and now The Rock has to copy John Cena and wear the Black Adam suit to Comic-Con. You see that?
I did see that. I mean, if he's wearing a suit to interviews, that's one thing.
Yeah, I mean, leave it to John Cena to pave the way, right? We got that, and the guy who plays High Evolutionary also came out in his suit for Guardians 3, which was great, and he's from Peacemaker, and we love him. So let's get on my picks of the week. First one is from Image. It's called The Magic Order Number 3. It's the second week, I believe, with Mark Miller being my pick of the week. It's a miniseries premiere. Superstar writer Mark Miller launches the third volume of his smash hit horror series with Italian genius Gigi Cavanaugho from Batman on art for another 6-issue run. Sounded like that was a band, like Gigi on art. We've met the American and the British members of the Magic Order. Now it's time to meet the Asian chapter, including a brilliant new major player in the upcoming live-action Netflix show, Sammy Liu. The issue will be a huge collector's item. Now we're getting a series. Apparently, it seems like it's upcoming pretty quickly, the way that this pitch says. I've heard nothing of the sort.
No.
But you going to get this? You didn't read one or two. Are you going to pick up three?
Probably not. I'll wait for the Netflix series.
And to be disappointed. I'm going to pick it up. Obviously, I've read one and two, so I'm going to give three a chance. Speaking about the before-mentioned Ant-Man, he's getting a new number one, and it's written by Al Ewing with art from Tom Riley. Flashback to the early days of Hank Pym's career as the astonishing Ant-Man. It's date night for Hank and his girlfriend Janet Van Dyne, but nobody told that to Ant-Man's enemies. Watch as Hank's anti-antagonists band together to finally take down the scientific adventurer. But will anyone come to his rescue? And who is this mysterious stranger who talks to him? Join Al Ewing from Immortal Hulk and Tom Riley from The Thing as they explore the history of every hero, past, present, and future, called Ant-Man. You going to pick up a new Ant-Man?
Probably not.
Oh, 2-0 for 2.
Yeah.
This one I think you're going to pick up. I think I'm going to go 1-for-4 on this one. But this is the one I think you're going to get. And it's Gambit number 1. It's written by Chris Claremont with art from Sid Cotain. And it's an all-new adventure of the legendary thief by co-creator Chris Claremont, who we interviewed for a minute and 30 seconds on this podcast, but still one of the best minute and 30 seconds of my life. You think you know all there is to know about Remy LeBeau, the raging Cajun, the mutant known as Gambit, but legendary ex-scribe Chris Claremont has an ace up his sleeve with a new series. Before he joined the X-Men, Gambit encountered a mysterious girl named Ro. The mutant Storm regressed to her child self by the nefarious Nanny, and the two went up against the forces of the Shadow King, Now revealed for the first time, Gambit finds his path to becoming a heroic X-Men millions of fans call their favorite. Joined by rising star Sid Cotain, Chris weaves a story of action, intrigue, and revenge that made Gambit the mutant he is and forged a relationship with Storm. You'll get a charge out of this one, mon ami. Are you going to get this?
It's Chris Claremont, who is an X-Men legend. But it does sound kind of weird, you know, with Aurora Storm reverting back to her child self. I saw the art, or the, not art, but the ad for it looked pretty cool. I'll probably pick this up.
All right, there's my one. The next one is called Wild Cards Number 1. It's written by Paul Cornell with art from Mike Hawthorne. And the legendary George R.R. Martin superhero series comes to Marvel. He can write a superhero series, but he can't finish a goddamn book. Spanning more than 25 novels, more than 20 short stories released over 3 decades, and written by more than 40 authors, the Wild Card series tells the stories of an alternate history in which the Earth is home to superpowered individuals. When a human is infected with an alien wild card virus, the odds are that they will be killed, which is referred to as drawing the Black Queen. Of those who survive, the bulk of those of them become Jokers, left with some strange mutated form. A lucky few are called Aces, those gifted with superpowers they can put to use towards heroes' goals, or villainous ones. Now, for the first time in comic book form, see how the Wild Cards universe began with an adaptation of the very first stories in the original Wild Cards novel, based on stories by Harold Waldrop, Roger Zelazny, and series mastermind and editor George R.R. Martin. Wild Cards is a stellar introduction to a whole new world of reshaped by the emergence of superpowers. So, this episode and this pick is based around new superhero powers, right?
Yeah.
New superhero teams that we're not familiar with if you didn't read the comics, right? This is coming out in comic book form. Are you picking up Wild Cards Number 1 to give it a shot?
Maybe. Wasn't this supposed to be a series? Like when...
I'm sure, but then Game of Thrones shit the bed.
Yeah, I think when a couple years ago, like they were just throwing all these George R. R. Martin series at the wall, like, oh, we're gonna make this, and I thought this was one of them.
Well, Game of Thrones, all the way up until the end, goes down as one of the best television shows of all time, except for the ending, right?
Yeah,
kind of ruins it, similar to Lost. Night Flyers was another game George R. R. Martin joint that came out on Sci-Fi, and it was violent. It was okay, but it got zero press, zero exposure, and it was on Sci-Fi, so it was doomed to hell. This fits the landscape more right now, because obviously superheroes are big, but I think that this can become too muddled and too, like, this needs to come out when, like, one of the big three superhero comic companies decides they don't want to make movies anymore. You know what I mean?
Because
this is like, you really have to think about it. And now Lord of the Rings is coming out, and you've got Paper Girls coming out. There's so much stuff coming out. You might want to pump the brakes on turning this into a series. But comic form, you going to get this?
I'll probably take a look at it when it's there. You know,
yeah.
Peruse it real
quick. Give it a little peruse, right?
Yeah.
Cool. So, let's call it 1.5 for 4. I'm not mad at that. All right. So we're going to enter spoiler territory, because season 3 of The Boys has finished. And in our last episode, I talked about that picture of a horse where it goes from bad, good, to okay, to bad. And I kind of compared it to The Boys, where it went good, better, best. Because season 3 delivered.
Yeah.
And again, spoilers to follow if you haven't watched all the episodes of The Boys. Shorter season this year, more vulgar, more problematic, more different themes in this one. There's a lot of political themes in this one as well. What did you think of the series?
I really like The Boys. I really like how... It's not a it's not a spoof, but they take a lot of tropes that are in the comic book world and kind of flip it a little bit. Like, you know, I talked about it before. I really like that they use superhero as kind of monetary. You know, they try to monetize everything. And that's kind of how our world is. Like, if there was really superheroes, you know they would try to make money off it. Somebody. So I really like that idea. It's vulgar. It's different. This season ramped up everything. I mean, the first episode was one of the craziest things I've ever seen. And that was when, what was his name? Termite?
Yeah.
Went in to a guy's
urethra.
Yeah. And then
yeah.
Sneezed and blew him up. Like, I'm like, what the? I saw it before you and I was like, dude, you have to watch this. Because as soon as you see the scene, it's going to blow your mind. But they've always stepped up the game of how far they can push things. And I think this season, they really proved that.
Yeah, I mean, I think that this is actually more of a spoof than you think it is. Because it was designed to be a parody of the traditional superhero comics. This is one of those shows that it makes fun of what's popular while keeping it genuine and keeping fans engaged. If this just came in and just took crap on everything that we love about Marvel movies and DC movies, more Marvel than DC movies, I feel like it would have went one season and done. Because the comics, albeit they're good, they're very problematic. This is a series that, in this climate today, shouldn't exist. But Seth Rogen and his team have really navigated it, and they've pushed the envelope and said, listen, like, this is what it is. You either like it or you don't. We're going to take risks. And I'm not saying, like, this is for, like, if you're super sensitive, don't watch it. But if you are super sensitive, probably don't watch it. Because, yeah, you get a coked up little superhero going into somebody's urethra and sneezing and blowing them up. You get a whole scene, you get a whole episode of superheroes having an orgy. You get a bunch of, you know, grandmas naked with Soldier Boy. They really just switch all the tropes. Like, this is the anti-Marvel.
Yeah.
This is anti capes and cows with capes and cows. It's very weird because you get Homelander, who's a sociopath, and it's the whole thing. Like, this is What If. The Boys are What If.
Yeah, definitely.
What If comics. Not the comics that are coming out, like, What If Miles Morales was other superheroes, because those are awful. But this is What If Superman was an asshole. And what if Superman gained consciousness to the point that, or, like, insight that he could literally kill everybody? What if Aquaman really did have sex with fish? You know, because obviously the octopi sex scenes were intense. This is what if the Flash couldn't run anymore and was faced up against another speedster who was anti-Flash but super racist. And how would you handle that? Would you give up your last seconds of life to kill the person who paralyzed your brother? There's a whole bunch of things. And then they introduce Soldier Boy.
Yeah.
Not, you know, Crank That Soldier Boy, but Jensen Ackles, Captain America Soldier Boy, who comes in. And this is the biggest what if. What if 1930s, 1940s superhero was brought back to 2000s with the same idealistic thoughts that he had back then, or the same ideals that he had back then? How would it play out? And it played out exactly how you thought it was. He was homophobic. He was racist. He was terrible. But Jensen Ackles played him perfectly.
Yeah, he did. I'm not a big fan of him.
Yeah, you hate him. That's fair to say.
A lot of times I call him Jansen Ackles. But he was what the series required him to be. And then we found out Soldier Boy really wasn't that good of a superhero. Like, not only as a person, but he didn't really do anything. He was more...
Yeah, it shows It shows you how Vault really ran it. That from day one, superheroes were pawns. They were never actual heroes. The only one who wanted to be a hero was Starlight.
Yeah.
You know, and Black Noir wanted to be a movie star, and he lost the role to White Man Can't Jump to Wesley Snipes, and or not Beverly Hills Ninja to Eddie Murphy. You know, they were only in it for themselves, and it just showed how superpowered people are. You can kind of liken it to the scene of the gods in Thor, where they weren't worried about Gore. They weren't worried about the people or the small puny gods. They were worried about their next orgy. So they were very timely, both of these, that movie and this series. Were you pleased with Jensen Ackles in this one? Because going into it, you were kind of frustrated that he got cast as this.
Yeah, I thought he was good for what they needed him to be and what Soldier Boy ended up being. I thought he was really good for this series. Like that granny sex scene was ridiculous because, you know, they were, to him, they were young women.
Yeah, they were his age.
Yeah.
He was just picking up chicks on Tinder. You know, they were in his age bracket. And, like, he was all coked up, and the scene where he's talking about how Bill Cosby made, you know, really strong drinks.
Dude, and that was very wrong, very politically incorrect, but it was hilarious.
And that's the thing about the series. It's extremely politically incorrect. I'm surprised that there hasn't been a petition to take this down. Maybe after season three there was, or I'm ignorant to it, but I think what they really do well is that they give everybody the right amount of screen time. Like, it's, you're getting, like, you have so many characters that you have to navigate in this series, and you're getting, you know, the deep returns in his storyline. You've got Black Noir's storyline with the cartoon animals, but on the other side, you're getting the woman's storyline, and you're getting Frenchie's storyline and Mother's Milk storyline. It's not just Homelander. And even though he had a huge part in this, and Soldier Boy had a huge part in this, I thought the way that they handled all the storylines and all the cast members, it didn't feel like anybody was underutilized. Even the chick Ashley had a ton of screen time. You know what I mean? Like the new CEO of Vault. So I think they did a really good job navigating that. Who was your favorite character of the season? Because I feel like it's changed from episode, like, season one to season two.
I really like Kimiko. When she killed that dude with all those dildos, was insane.
Yeah.
I really like her and Frenchie's dynamic. I liked Soldier Boy. I just liked the way they wrote him. I thought it was what the series needed. You know,
yeah, and he's completely different in the comics. In the comics, the Herogasm episode, there's a mini series called Herogasm, which it goes much deeper than what we saw, even though that episode was wild. I don't even think they could get away with what's in the comics. But anyway, the thing about Soldier Boy is Soldier Boy wants to be desperately in the Seven. That he has sex with Homelander every Herogasm, and Homelander just has sex with him to shut him up and says, all right, we'll think about it. And it's, I'll see you next year, kid. You're not good enough. So I feel like that would have switched it, the whole thing on its head, had that happened. And Soldier Boy was like this, like, pompous, not even pompous, like this little nerdy Boy Scout. I think they needed somebody strong enough to take on Homelander, but also be just as sadistic as Homelander is. You know what I mean?
I mean, they did announce that that's his dad.
Yeah, I mean, at the end, they announced it, which was a big change in it. But prior to that, not knowing that that was his father and his still wanting to kill him, they needed somebody strong enough. You know, Mother's Milk wasn't going to kill Homelander. Butcher, even though he was hopped up on Temp-V and Huey, they weren't going to kill Homelander. Maeve was, you know, she might have been the least utilized character in this, but her story was very important. She wasn't going to be able to kill Homelander alone. Starlight wasn't going to be able to kill, like, that team together wasn't going to be able to kill Homelander. But Soldier Boy and the powers that, like, the way they changed his powers in the Russian experiment, I think that that was perfect. And you're right, it is what the show needed, because Homelander is unstoppable. Yeah. I'm very curious to see where they go in season 4, because Homelander now has Ryan.
Yeah, and he's going to be super powerful.
Yeah, and he's got the people behind him, and that's the problem. You know, now, you know, MM's daughter's stepdad is a Homelander supporter. You know, there's so many people behind his cause that is an open season on superheroes not named Homelander.
Yeah.
I'm very curious to see where they go with season 4. And I don't know who they bring in. You know, there's Tech Knight, who I've been talking about for years, who's kind of like the Batman of it all. But I don't know. Does he beat Homelander? Probably not. We know that Soldier Boy isn't dead. He's in cryo. So maybe they kind of reprogram him and we get another run at Soldier Boy Homelander. But, you know, there could be a heel turn there where Soldier Boy becomes teammates with Homelander, and it's father, grandfather, and son. Like, that would be a wild thing. That's how your series ends. You kill everybody.
I think it's gonna be Love Sausage. You know, he gets his...
He's dead. They burnt the sausage.
Well, I know he's burned his penis, but I thought he was gonna get it back.
Yeah, well, it doesn't grow back. He's not a gecko.
Best comic name and superpower of all time.
Yeah, and I love that they gave it to him in the show, which was awesome. Yeah. I think that, you know, the Herogasm episode is what everybody was looking forward to or not looking forward to, depending on what side of the fence you're on. I think it delivered for what it was. It had, like, those super gross, horrific moments, especially for Laz Alonso. I felt terrible for him. But, like, that episode was extremely – it was, like, the turning point in the series. And who would have thought, like, a superhero orgy episode – would have been the turning point, but that's when Starfire is like, the hell with it. This is what I'm going to do, and I'm going to play the game. And I think Starfire was my favorite, or no, Starlight was my favorite character in this series, because I think what Erin Moriarty did in terms of acting was amazing.
Yeah, she was great. I was on the fence, but, you know, favorite character, probably Homelander, and throughout the whole series.
Man, two terrible people to be your favorite character, Chuck.
It's because what Anthony Starr does to the character.
Yeah, Tony Starr is a phenomenal actor.
You know, from the first episode of this series, or the season, you just show what a piece of shit he is. Like, he goes in, and you see Stormfront is alive.
Yep.
And she's got one hand. She's all burned up. And what does he do?
Makes her jerk him off.
Like, it's just...
He's pompous. Oh. And, like, he's definitely got some mental illness going on there. Obviously, with the, you know, the inner voice talking to him through the mirror.
He has
and
to...
I know you want him as Thrawn, but if he plays Dracula, I'm here for it, too, because he can play a bad villain.
Yeah. And he's one of... He's got to be one of the worst characters to appear on screen. Like, he is just a rotten person.
Yeah, there's no redeeming qualities for Homelander.
No, but just, you know, and his warped, twisted mind. Like, when they were doing that reality show, and he just out of nowhere was like, oh, we're a couple now. And she had to basically just swallow it and play along. And, you know, to him, everything's ratings. And what are my poll numbers? What is it, you know, how am I viewed? And that's all he cares about. And like you said, at the end of the season, he killed a guy right in front of him. And the fans...
Right in front of the entire crowd.
And they cheered.
Yeah.
And...
Yeah, I said it the first time we saw The Boys, that Homelander is former President Trump as a superhero. Just, he doesn't care about what anybody says and says what's on his mind and does what's on his mind. And he'll still always have supporters. And that's Homelander. Homelander is, man, he's just, again, I'm going to echo your thoughts, the worst. I can't think of, like, Ramsey was really bad. Joffrey was really bad. He's right up there with those guys.
And, but he makes the show. Like, even, you know, he is the boys. Like, I don't think without Anthony Starr, this show would be as great as it is.
I think without Anthony Starr and without Carl Urban, I think
Oh, Carl Urban's great. They casted
both team leaders perfectly, because you need that yin and the yang. And Butcher is Homelander if without superpowers. Did you like the whole Temp V stuff?
I kind of did, because it, you know, it kind of shows like he's against superpowers, against, and then he realizes that like he might need them to go up against these guys, and then he gets addicted. And you know, Huey, which when he got his powers are great, he teleports and then he's naked.
Yeah, that was it. That was part of his powers in the comics.
And Jack Quaid's great. I really like him as Huey, but definitely Carl Urban. Like, he is, and he's not likable either.
No, again, he's Homelander.
Yeah.
You don't pull for Carl Urban in this.
No.
Or Billy Butcher. You don't pull for him. But you want him. You want the boys to win, and he's part of it. So I guess at some point, you got to pull for him. There's one character that I think, you know, is more dangerous than Homelander, and now that's the potential vice president of the whole United States. Who we saw at the end of season 3.
Yeah.
Blowing up people's heads. And she even threatened to blow up Homelander's head. Do you think that the boys ally with her? Or do you see Vought using her, like Homelander allying with her?
I don't know. I mean, she has deep connections to Vought, obviously.
Yeah.
With her stepfather or... adoptive father.
Adoptive father.
I don't know. I don't see her being a good person. And, you know, trying to...
You know what I think could potentially happen? This is just spitballing as you were talking. Obviously the United States has Soldier Boy. What if they sent him to be the target, like, to assassinate the vice president, the candidate for vice president? But in actuality, he just takes her powers.
Oh, wow.
And exposes her as a soup. She gets in trouble for all that. You know, like, that could potentially happen. Because now, you know, Russia did some crazy stuff with Soldier Boy. America's definitely going to do some crazy stuff with Soldier Boy. They want to stop Homelander. I mean, there's some reconditioning coming up. I'm so confused on what's to happen. I'm, like, in the dark with this one because... I have no idea where they're going to go with this. When they announced Soldier Boy, I was like, oh, this is going to be weird. I never thought this is what we would have got. When they announced Stormfront, didn't think that's what we were going to get. And they're going to announce the next big character to join in probably a month or, you know, 5 months from now, whenever. And I'm going to be like, yeah, I think I know where I'm going.
Nope.
And I have no idea. But what I do know is the boys... is coming back for season 4.
Yes.
There's a spinoff coming out called Gen V, which is college versus college show / Hunger Games.
Yeah.
Which is going to be wild. They have an anime series called Diabolical, which is ridiculous.
I didn't like it.
Well, yeah. I mean, it has a lot going on to it. So you have to be you have to really just sit down and kind of take it for what it is on that one.
I think the only one I liked is the one Garth Ennis wrote.
Yeah, you didn't like the Awkwafina one?
No.
No, of course you didn't. But, I mean, the boys, in terms of everything that I've been watching this year from start to finish, The Boys has been stellar.
Yeah.
It's not for everybody, and I get that. It's not. Completely get that. But in terms of, you know, superhero genre-esque show, it's good. This season had the most superhero action that I've seen so far in the three seasons that have happened. It probably had the most nudity in the three scenes that, that I've watched, and probably the most bestiality in the three scenes that I've watched. But overall, I enjoyed the series.
Did you hear about the bestiality thing?
I knew what was going to happen.
Well, no. Amazon Prime was like, you're not doing it. And the producers were just like, well, how about this? He's going to have sex with an octopi. But it can't be really real because they don't have an orifice down there. So in technically, it can't really happen, but we're going to do it. And they were like, oh, if it can't really happen, then it's fine.
Yeah, you know, I'm just glad. You know, we live in a weird world right now where people will do anything to be famous.
Yes.
On TikTok, Instagram Reels, whatever. And I could see somebody being like, well, The Deep did it. And trying to, you know, have intercourse with an octopus, not realizing that, one, there is no
orifice.
Holes for you to penetrate sexually. But two, they have a beak and they will tear off your love sausage. So if anybody's listening to this thinking, I'm going to go have sex with an octopus, don't do it.
Yeah, no, not a good idea.
There's zero need. Don't have sex with any animals. How about we just be normal? That's not going to get you famous.
No.
It's going to get you locked up. So that's my PSA for this episode.
Jim's back so to school special.
Yeah, I mean, the more you know. Special. Yeah, so let's go with our geek grader for season 3 of The Boys. 1 through 10, what do you got?
10.
10. I was at like a 9.9, but I'm just going to bump it up to an even 10.
It's just it's
there wasn't a bad episode.
No, it's so good. It's so well written. It's well acted. We forgot to mention what they did, the spoof on the Snyderverse, and they brought in Charlize Theron as Stormfront.
Yeah, yeah.
And
that was great. The Dawn of Justice spinoff.
And she told Marvel, like, hey, like, I did this thing when she got casted for Doctor Strange. She was like, look, I did this thing. Is it okay? And she said Kevin Feige said he loved it.
Yeah, because the Boys aren't competition to the MCU.
No, not at all.
If anything, it's like the weird minor leagues for the MCU because they're just going to start poaching people.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Aaron Moriarty is probably going to end up in the MCU. Carl Urban's been in the MCU. Yeah. Anthony Starr, Giancarlo Esposito are probably joining the MCU. Chase Crawford, I don't know. Jury's out with him. Karen Fukuyama. I'd love to see her in a role in the MCU where she actually gets to talk.
Yeah, I mean, she was in DCEU, but
yeah, she was in Suicide Squad, but she still didn't talk.
No, very little.
And I'm sorry, her name's Karen Fukuhara. I want to get that right. And she's got an amazing voice. It was nice to hear her actually speak at some points
and sing
in this show.
I don't know if that
yeah,
was
so
her.
get her in the MCU. Jesse T. Usher, probably going to be in the MCU. I know you don't like A-Train, but he's a good actor.
Well, no.
Jack Quaid seems to be in everything.
Yeah.
So he's going to pop up somehow. So this is like the training grounds. This is your tryout to get you into Marvel. Play a superhero on TV, spoof it, and if you're good enough, you go to Marvel. We're going to see that soon with Anthony Starr. So 10s all around for us on The Boys season 3. Next week, I don't know if we're going to give 10s all around, but I'm curious to see what we talk where we stand with this, because we're going to be watching The Umbrella Academy and we're going to talk about it because we saw it.
Yeah.
Season 3. Another superhero-esque TV show that came out exactly around the same time. So head to head, The Boys versus Umbrella Academy. We're going to see which one stands the test of time. But that's it. We're going to get out of here. Follow us on social media. We've got a ton of new episodes coming out. Like I said, we've planned all of our episodes out until October, and we're slowly, Chuck, approaching episode 300.
Wow, we got to do something big.
I already know what we're going to do.
Awesome.
We're going to watch every single Gerard Butler movie.
Yeah.
And we're going to rank them. Get ready for it, because there's going to be a lot of geostorms. There's going to be a lot of natural disasters and
Greenland
presidents that are down. There's going to be a lot going on in our 300th episode. But that's coming up. I think that's like five or six episodes away. So we're getting there. But that's it, man. We'll be back next week. The Umbrella Academy. Make sure you watch it, because we will spoil it. Make sure you go back and watch The Boys if you missed some of the parts that we talked about, because there were a lot of parts to talk about. Paul Reiser was in it. Completely different than who he was in Stranger Things. So if you like seeing, you know, fun cameos, go watch The Boys. If you've read Herogasm, go watch The Boys. But that's it. We'll be back next week with The Umbrella Academy for the Active Geek Podcast. I'm Jim.
I am Chuck.
We are out.